Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. I'm your host, George Wacker, and today we are talking with Katie Keach, co-founder, along with her husband, Larry, of Keach Basketball Legacy. Going beyond the hardwood, Keach Basketball Legacy also aims to promote financial literacy, business acumen, and life skills for their student athletes. Katie and I talk about how her and her husband, Larry, met due to a basketball injury in a roundabout way. We talk about how you can find out more information about what they're doing and what goes into their organization on and off the court. Thank you to our sponsors, Lehigh Valley Health Network. Please listen to their commercial in this episode. Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Realty, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Banco Beverage. These guys make sure that we can keep doing this stuff. Thank you so much. Let's get to it. We're talking with Katie Keach of Keach Basketball Legacy. Katie, welcome. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited to talk about this. I mean, I know you professionally and personally, and I've never really talked about the Keach Basketball Legacy. So I'm excited to learn a lot more about this nonprofit. And I want to start with, give me your elevator pitch. So tell me what it is in the minute, and then we're going to go in and talk about how it got started and all that.
Yeah. So Keach Basketball Legacy is a nonprofit located in the Lehigh Valley, but nationally recognized. And the idea is to work with corporations locally and across the nation to help create a funnel of employable, recruited athletes that function in society in the future.
Sure. I mean, you're a former basketball star, right?
Former something. Yes, I definitely play ball.
Where'd you go to high school?
Yeah, so went to high school, to Manus High School, but ended up graduating from Becca, which is all part of the story, right? So had an injury in my junior year and back half of that season I had to sit the bench and be a cheerleader, which was not anything I really knew much about. And then rehabbed that ankle, came back in the opposite ankle, had an injury, and that I wasn't mentally strong enough to see another season go the same way. So I transferred to Becca for my senior year and rest of my junior into my senior year, and decided that, the best course of action at that point was focus on my grades because I wasn't going to play ball. I did make the basketball team at Becca, right. Which was cool. And I did play a couple of minutes and a couple games just at the end. But honestly, it was really focusing on my grades and figuring out what life after basketball looked like. Here we are.
What happens at Lehigh Valley Health Institutes? What's next happens? Here, you'll find the latest, most advanced innovations in heart and vascular, neuroscience, surgery, orthopedics, and cancer care. You'll find invaluable alliances like their partnership with Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and one team, your team, singularly focused on getting you better. Here is where exceptional happens. Lehigh Valley Health Network. Your health deserves a partner. Where does your sports progression go when you leave high school then?
Yeah. So at that point, I was being groomed to go play in college, right? Sure. And I tell people I was never allowed to snowboard, ice skate, ski. I didn't get to do any of those things as a child because my dad was like, you're going to get hurt. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. And the way that I got hurt were two freak accidents. First one was Sears didn't bolt the bed frame to the bed, came running in from practice. Bam. The bed frame came down on my ankle.
Oh my God.
Yep. The other one was working out. Actually, it was just came out of a therapy session on the one that we were rehabbing. And I was talking to a football player and he knocked a tree of 45-pound plates on the other side. And the rest kind of was history at that point.
What do you do? Like that second time, I'd be like, I give up.
I really did. Like, honestly, that's kind of where I was, right?
Oh.
I was like, I'm not mentally strong enough. Like, I remember saying, and I remember being on Cedar Crest Boulevard in my mom's car in like a fit of rage, crying and going, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. I know that you might all think I can, but I'm not strong enough. And, what I was referring to is just the ability to keep working and keep seeing the vision. So at that point, I transferred schools and finished off. And really that was the end of playing ball for me. But the thing that I think helped me was, you know, after licking my wounds for a good 3 to 6 months, I figured out that I could use the work ethic, the teammate strategy, the discipline, the what I call a little bit of the obsession, right? To the game in a different way of my life, figuring out how do I become obsessed with something different. And I became obsessed with corporate America, ended up getting a job for a small logistics franchise called Worldwide Express, and helped that company go from under $1 million to over $1.4 billion in a 14-year time frame, and climbed the ranks of that executive ladder, and figured out that, okay, I can use all these strategies and do this. Now, throughout that career, my husband and I, had I not gotten hurt, never would have met my husband. We're together 21 years this year, married 15 years.
Did you meet him in the hospital? Like what?
Funny you say that. We do have a hospital part of our story, but no, we did not meet in the hospital. His best friend was in my homeroom at Becca.
You wouldn't have met.
We wouldn't have met, right? He played football at Liberty, got invited to a Liberty football game, and that's how I met him. But so I digress. But basically what happened was I realized that, all right, I can go do this. So I went to school full-time and worked full-time. And then we had a kid, our first child, and around 3 or 4 years old for her, I was like, I got to get a ball in her hand. Like, and I suddenly got this like urge, you know, I don't want to say live vicariously through her, because anybody that's been around us, that is not at all what's happening over here. But I was wanting to see her to try the sport, and she's kind of following similar path in the sense that only played basketball. I've coached her and her friends since they're, 4 and 5 years old. And now I've kind of got a girl gang around me that I've been coaching for a really long time, and they compete on a national level, which is fun.
Yeah. And it's important. I get what you're saying. I have a 7 year old, and some of it, you're like, I want to push you hard, but it's not that I'm living vicariously. It's that I feel like I have enough to teach you to do it correctly. Yeah. But it is a fine line to walk there. So how do you do that? Like, how do you walk that fine line? Can you talk a little bit about what the Keach legacy does, like in practice?
Yeah, for sure. So we created the nonprofit last year on the vision that we wanted to create a facility for kids that they could be able to do training, have a podcast studio, have classroom, have film review area, you know, weight training, all the things, but then also bring in people like Gross McGinley to speak about NIL, name, image, and likeness. Yeah. And the ability of building their own personal brands and making money at 8 years old is as believe it or not, how early they can start making NIL money. Crazy note, right? Duly noted.
Makes a mental note. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. But then also have, you know, mental toughness, mental preparedness, you know, resilience, social media training, branding. I want to be able to bring in all these aspects, savings, investing, finance, where they can learn all these different, you know, resources and tools to understand basketball is the vehicle, right? I'm training, I'm planning to play in college, but what happens if I don't get that opportunity? What happens if it ends? You know, we focus middle school through college, so we really when is that going to end for them?
Too cool. Where does this all take place?
So right now it's all completely virtually, right? We're in the middle of looking at different locations across the valley. To have a facility that we're able to bring all of this together in. And we're also in the middle of taking on corporate sponsorship, both locally and nationally.
Yeah, I was trying to segue this in somehow. I'm a former D3 athlete. I went to Moravian. I am still on the indoor record book at Moravian. I'm very proud of that. But, you know, I knew going D3, it's like, especially in track and field, it's like, I'm not going to make money after college with this. And I would think percentage wise, most don't, right? It's probably got to be 98% of kids participating in high school are not going to be making money on athletics.
0.005% go on to play beyond college.
So, you know, what are we learning from this stuff? It's not just our best post moves. you know, can you kind of talk about what are some of the things that you are learning from basketball that aren't athletically related, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the discipline, right? The number one thing I talk about is the work ethic and the discipline to apply yourself to something so passionately without knowing the outcome, right? So like, you know, as an adult, you're doing these things to eventually get a job. But like when you're a kid, you don't know that. You're just trying to make the team. You're trying to like earn your spot on the team, to earn your spot on the court, to earn your playing time. And then, you know, beyond that. And so getting that rejection, understanding that adversity, as I referred to it early on in your life. And that starts with being on a team. That starts with team sports, I think, is, you know, all little tools and aspects of what you need to become able to apply this to other parts of your life.
I always, whenever I put in the hard work and then I saw a result from it, I'm like, woohoo, wait a minute.
Right.
If I do that twice as hard, do I get twice the result? That's sort of thing.
Right. That's the obsession, right? So like, right? That's, you know, it's exactly what it is. And I think you're a little bit like me where, you know, and my own team would laugh at me when I say this because they don't know this version of me, but I'm a workaholic. Like, and I just say it's another addiction, right?
Yeah. I kind of have to like be forced to put it down because I'm like, wait a minute, I can do more.
Right. Exactly. And then I can achieve more and then I can do this. And so the only thing though, where I can tell you, I'm not looking at my phone, not looking at my emails and 100% dialed in is when I'm with the girls on a court, in a practice, in a game, in a training, I am dialed in and there's no other distractions. And so when you know that and you can sense that about yourself, you just lean in.
So, I mean, clearly we agree on the benefits of this. And I asked, where is this happening? And you said, so we're in the process here. You know, you just launched summer 2023, which isn't that long ago.
So we didn't get the 501c3, George, until November.
Okay.
We launched the concept of it, I want to say late August, had our first event in October, and then went right to getting the 501c3, had the holidays, you know, the girls competed at Winter Series I guess it was November, to they actually still have a weekend there in March. They're actually competing in Bronx, New York against some teams this weekend. So we've been in the gym, we've been working. And then really what's going on now is we're forming player elite ambassador relationships behind the scenes that we'll be announcing here very shortly. So you look at that as players that don't play under the brand. They may play high school, college, or professionally, or have played. So that's what we're calling our player elite brand ambassadors. And then we have our own player ambassadors, which are the kids within the program, continuing to add more teams, looking to launch potentially a high school team next year, and continuing to add even boys programming. Because I'm so heavily involved in the girls, of course, I'm going to go with where I'm comfortable and where I've got the recognition. But there's absolute plans to, I have a 3-year-old son, and I'm not going to wait till he's old enough to play before we start putting boys teams out there as well.
I know things change every day. What's like the end game? Is it where you're like the IMG Academy of Lehigh Valley type thing, or
no, I don't think we're looking to be the next IMG, you know? So the reason why we bring the training facility into it is because we want to meet them where they are in their journey. Right.
Okay.
So we know that they need to be in basketball training. We know they need to have places to practice. We know they need to have places to work on speed, agility, and quickness. We know that they need to have recovery areas, right? So we know that's from the physical side of things. Then we are already talking to teachers across the valley who are interested in doing tutoring. We're talking to corporations interested in talking about engineering and different programs and different opportunities that'll present themselves in their companies as time goes on. And what do those paths look like? What do they need to be focused in? And then we're, like I said, talking with Gross McGinley and having other people come into the conversation, whether it be investment bankers, you know, like I said, the law firm, giving their piece of the puzzle. And so the ultimate goal is to create an environment where the, you know, these kids can funnel into these programs and kind of cut out the recruiters. You know, there's so much money being made in that recruitment process. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, the statistics, I'm sure, like, it's like an $8 billion industry now, the recruiting firm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is marrying, yep, you know, people together. Well, so why not have these corporations start building a funnel of relationships with these kids now while they're in their journey, see them through, you know, their whatever middle school, high school, college, sure, wherever that ends for them. But then let's talk about how you take those same skills and not have that blip like I had, where I had to try to figure it out. And I can tell you, I've started talking about this enough on a national level where people are reaching out and going, nobody's having these conversations.
I think it's smart. That is something too, that I didn't have that kind of liaison to the next part of life. It was get a interview and hopefully this goes well, instead of like having people in the industry locally who I can say, hey, I'm going to interview with this company. Can you give me some tips? That's what regular people do who aren't, you know, 18-year-olds. They have the opportunity to network like that. I think it's great. That's a really smart opportunity. So,
and I think it, you know, all goes well, you'll be the first place I'm saying this, but mm-hmm, I'd love to advocate at the school district level,
sure,
to have some sort of VoTech option that is working within our community of our nonprofit to help these kids, you know, be able to take these courses, because we're not learning it in school today. These are not things that they're focusing on for these kids today in school.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Just like learning more about it now. I'm just, I'm definitely curious. You're looking definitely to find more sponsorship opportunities, that I'm guessing. So
yeah,
Beyond,
yes,
Growth McGinley. So there's other organizations that are interested to reach out to you.
Absolutely. We just launched our sponsorship package last week, believe it or not. We are going to be announcing very shortly here our gala for 2024. Which will have some really cool keynote speakers coming in for the launch. And we want it to be a party. You know, we want to have some public speaking, but then we also want to educate and, again, start forming those partnerships and those relationships, okay, and having them come in and start talking to these kids who are interested in marketing, who are interested in engineering, who are interested in an incubator entrepreneur world. Like, that's the cool part I see that I think, you know, I can advocate in so many areas, but one I'm most excited about is, like, I love being an entrepreneur. I love working. My husband and I, you know, we consider ourselves couplepreneurs, right? I want to be able, if there's a kid out there that I can help, maybe have a little bit of an incubator within the program to get to launch and help them get funding and help grow those ideas. Maybe college isn't for everyone.
No, I agree with you. Like, and that's something where you hear more and more about that, and to have the opportunity to kind of explore it without having to fail so many times would be nice to have. And talking about being an entrepreneur, how has it been for you to start a nonprofit? People talk about doing stuff like this all the time. You know, I would love to do this or that, but you're doing it. It's reality. How has it been for you and your husband?
Yeah. So, because I got such an opportunity in corporate America at such a young age, right? I was 18 years old when I started working.
Oh, man.
I am 37 years old, going to be 38. And I feel like because I have this energy, I've made the financial impact that I've wanted to make. We're good where we are. We want to go make social impact now. We want to go figure out how can we help, you know, recruiting. If you talk to anybody last year and the year before, recruiting is the number one problem corporations are facing today. People. So I was like, well, that's interesting. And I'm around people all the time, whether it be professionally or in the nonprofit, right? And so I was like, what if we help solve that problem? And that's kind of what gave me the directive and the vision. And the rest is kind of just, you know, the old saying, the vehicle shows up when you're ready. It's just kind of all happening on its own, but it's been super fun. I can tell you that.
And for somebody who's a parent who has a child who's maybe in basketball already or thinking about it, you know, I don't know. A question I would have is like, what sort of commitment, like weekly, are you looking at? Something like that. Like, what is my time investment in something like this?
Yeah. So that's a great question. We just closed tryouts for our spring AAU program. But we are definitely not meant for the kids who have multiple sports. We're definitely, it's a high level of commitment. We're together, you know, 5 to 7 days a week, honestly, whether it be in a practice, in a training facility, working our speed, agility, quickness. And that's why we really, again, our target's at middle school through college, right? Because that's that level of commitment at that point that you're looking. And the whole idea is, again, we've got Division I basketball coaches now reaching out, engaging in conversation, and looking to create relationships there and showcase these kids and again, help them at an elite level. So it's not really meant for the kid who's, you know, thinking about picking up a ball, right? We really recommend at least a couple of years of competitive basketball on a travel league before even considering trying out.
Which makes sense. I mean, this is something that I don't think you're kind of like, yeah, maybe we'll try it out. Like you're really funneling your energy here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this is great. I mean, it's exciting that, you know, it's so early on. You mentioned a gala. Do you have one coming up or?
Yeah, it's in the works. I can't mention too much about it yet. You know, we're still trying to iron out dates and got a couple of surprises that go with that. So coordinating people's calendars, are, as you know, can always be challenging. But yeah, we'll be announcing that here shortly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for now, I would just encourage people. We're flashing the website up there, but it's teach, K-E-I-C-H, legacy.org. And that's where you're going to find all these stuff we're talking about. You can drill down in it with a lot more information. You can find out some information on donating and also how to reach out, right? To get some more information if you're.
Yeah, absolutely. And one area we didn't hit on, but I think it's a really interesting topic is why the sponsorships, right? And the reason for me that I saw that opportunity beyond the recruiting side is the pressure, whether you could afford it because you're financially able to, or whether you're making sacrifices to be able to financially afford it. These kids, you know, doing these kind of trainings and these kind of competitive opportunities, it's a lot of money. And what I've seen is because parents are making these financial investments into these kids, there's like this pressure that comes with it. I've witnessed it over and over again where I've got kids crying on the bench. I've seen parents screaming and looking like lunatics in the stands, coaching over the coach. You know, I looked at it from a perspective of, you know, we're not focusing on underprivileged children. Well, there's great programs out there and there, I could list them for days and they're amazing, the work that they do. Mm-hmm. But the whole concept is to get them accepted into a program where it has these kind of corporate relationships for the big picture, which is take the pressure off of these kids, allow them to be invested in by corporations that want to see them, you know, within their organizations in the future in one way or another, and take the pressure off the parents so they can go back to enjoying and watching their kids grow, thrive, and succeed. When it becomes multi-thousand dollar investments each month, I think that's becomes, and you and I take a deep breath, but really that's when you factor in practice time, training time, speed, agility, quickness coaches, some of these parents are more than $1,000.
Like, I know. I'm not saying basketball isn't expensive. I know it is. But can you imagine like ice hockey, like
lacrosse? Kind of, I mean, the list goes on, right? I will not be, hey, listen, George, I'm not the first person to think that I'm not going to start a trend at some point that's like, hey, wait a minute, if this goes out well here, why can't we do this across on other sports? Well, I fully believe that there's going to be, in fact, our legal team counseled us to be prepared for, you know, people to do the same thing. And so, yeah, for sure, that was something very near and dear to my heart. I've worked with parents where I've pulled them aside and said, hey, listen, you're not going to, you, you, you're going to make this a really bad experience for both of you if you keep trying to make this, you know, a fight you have to do. Let them go out. Let them apply themselves. Let them play the best they can. Let the coaches and the trainers and the people doing the work get them where they need to go. And if they don't get there, it's okay. You know, don't look at it like that. This wasn't successful, because at the end of the day, it's about them being happy. It's about them being healthy. And it's about them having fun. We don't want to take the love of the game away. And I think we were starting to borderline before I you know, had this epiphany that I think we're starting to borderline whether this was fun anymore for some of these kids.
I can definitely appreciate that and understand it. You know, if you're there busting your butt and you don't win a certain thing and you don't know, what am I doing all this for, when it's like, hey, you know, there's more to it than just this one game. You know, it's, you're thinking about, you know, things way beyond all that. It's tough. Like, it's tough even looking at some of my friends who are in, you know, baseball, and they're traveling all over the country. I'm like, when do you guys have time to like eat dinner together and all that? It's really crazy. And it's great because it's time for families to be together. But then it's also like you're investing so much time into it that you have to have this kind of time to step back and have some perspective as well.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are only little ones, you know. I spent 14 years climbing the corporate ladder, and in some ways I'm like, it was amazing, right? But other ways I had sacrificed so much time with my kid, and probably why I have another one that's now 3 years old, because a little bit of it's like, let's do this again, right? Mm-hmm. But I missed a lot of firsts, and it was all so that I could keep climbing this corporate ladder. And I, one day it was like, to achieve what? Is like what I ask myself, like, what's my ultimate goal? I didn't want to move to Dallas. I didn't want to become a C-suite employee. Mm-hmm. So at that point I was like, I've done what I'm supposed to do here. What's my next vision? And that's why I created my own company in 2019. And then I kind of did that for the last 5 years. And late last year, I was like, huh, well, this has been fun. And it's grown tremendously, you know. Not everybody gets over the $1 million mark. I'm super proud to say we did.
That's amazing.
Right. And so now I'm at the point of like, all right, what's next? And I think I didn't have any more professional goals. It became, man, if somebody could grant me one wish, it would be to give me the ability to be in the gym with these kids as much as I possibly could from now until, you know.
Isn't it wild? I mean, you're younger than me, but even still, it's wild, like the ways you look at the world when you're 30 and 25, like I want to accomplish all this. And then when you're a little bit older, you're like, but the things that really matter are the things you already have, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of
people say that all the time. It's so funny, right? Like, I know, you know, we have nice things, and sure, everybody kind of looks at the material things, and I say, I'd give all of it back. Like, I'm proud of what we've accomplished, but it doesn't define me. I greet the janitor in the same way at the school when I'm working out with the kids as I would the president of a huge corporation.
Sure.
And I don't have imposter syndrome too much anymore. I'm still working through that. I still feel like I'm living my dream because I'm working in my passion every day.
Well, it's great. And I know it's fantastic. I love your logo as well. I would like to purchase some merch.
So
have opportunity.
We just launched our store, and it's open until February 25th.
All right.
Check out the website. We've got Under Armour is on there.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And we're super excited about this because we've had people reaching out. They're like, I love your logo. And I'm like,
you know, it's not everything, but it's a great start. It looks great.
Hey, I just want to be able to start, you know?
Yeah. I hope that we can talk again in like 6 months or something. Like, let's circle back in like 6 months or a year, and we can talk about more galas and all that and how everything's going. So,
yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and talk about all the things. I know, George, from watching you grow this, your brand, and watching how it's been viral and amazing things you're doing. So thank you for all the good work you're doing. Thank you for all the love you continue to spread, not only in the Lehigh Valley. I know it's called Lehigh Valley with Love, but I feel that you've spread that love far beyond the Lehigh Valley, and you probably know that, but I want to let you know it doesn't go unnoticed.
Well, I appreciate it. My whole secret to it is just show up. That's it. Like, if you show up, good things are going to happen. So
that's so true.
Katie, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk again shortly. And
thanks, again, we'll be in touch.
Check the show notes for everything, but it's teachlegacy.org. For more information, you can get more information on Teach Basketball Legacy, how you can help out, donate, sign up, get more information. We'll go from there. Katie, we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, George. Talk soon.
One more big thank you to our sponsors, Lehigh Valley Health Network, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadine with Remax, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, WDIY 88.1 FM, and Banco Beverage. And again, thank you to Teach Basketball Legacy. We'll talk to you soon.